Hi, this is Vonette Wright, and you've tuned into The Hand That You've Been Dealt. Our topic is going to be, why is change such a challenge? And how can you change successfully? Let's talk about the word change. Okay, if we talk about it as a verb, it says to make or become different. And if you use it as now, it's the act or instance of making or becoming different. I see a common denominator in those two, the word different. But we do know this, change, transformation, alteration, however one may choose to name it, can be seen all around us. We definitely know that now in a pandemic, everything has changed. Life is, once we knew it, is no longer, it's totally different. We all have personal behaviors that we wish we could adjust, stop, or even start. And from a young age, we're introduced to change, some more often than others. And somewhere along the line, we begin to form our own perceptions on the subject. The mere mention of the word change may cause some to feel so uneasy. We find ourselves resisting change, perhaps because of the risk or fear that's associated with it. This resistance can be seen in someone who always finds him or herself procrastinating. Or how about the person who smokes, who keeps having to have just one more or just one more? This is where I fall into overly stressed, who continues to add more and more to his or her plate. I know that's me. It's an interesting predicament we put on ourselves. So why do we have such a hard time initiating, following through with our own desire to change? I have to ask myself that. Behavioral change is rarely a discrete or single event. However, we tend to view it that way. And more often than not, behavioral change occurs gradually and over time. Now, the trans-theoretical model of behavior change, it identifies the various stages that we go through when we're moving to attempt from old habits or to form a new one. It's a linear progression, basically, through the stages, and it's not the norm. And sometimes we often tend to move back and forth through the stages, recycling through them until this change becomes fully established. But what we have to do is we have to identify where we are in the process, and we can then shape and guide our goals to assist us in moving from one stage to the next. You have to consider what stage you may be in and what actions you might need to take to progress to this next stage, okay? But here's the thing that I do know. Change is difficult. We focus on the negative aspect of the change. We follow a wrong strategy. We want to stop habits or patterns and focus on what we don't want. Effectively, we want to uncreate the very thing we have, but instead we usually add more features. So first, I'm going to start with 8 of the primary reasons change is such a challenge. The first one, we motivate by negative emotion. While it's understandable to think that strong emotion like regret and shame and fear and guilt should be able to catalyze lasting behavior change, the opposite is true. Negative emotions may trigger us to think about everything we're not doing or feel like we're doing wrong. But it's horrible to fuel to make changes that stick. I read in a review that 129 behavior changes studies found that consistently least effective change strategies hinge on fear and regret. 129, and that's what they found out, that it's fear and regret. And as much as this sounds like a platitude, real change needs a positive platform to launch. You need positive, self-edifying reasons for taking on the challenge. The second one, you get trapped into thinking about fallacies, things that are not true. We get feeling overwhelmed by trying to change behavior. It's an all or nothing type thinking. I'm going to change in this and change in that. And if I fail, that means I just can't do it. So if you give up on a cognitive base and distortion, you know that all or nothing thinking traps us into a no-win situation, because your odds of sustaining even the impressive jolt of momentum to change a behavior just aren't very good. And if we really want to change, one of the first things we have to do is take all or nothing off the table and purge into a few things or a few different thinking errors while we're at it. Now, the third one, we try to eat the entire elephant. I know I'm guilty of that. I have to do it all. I want to do it all at one time. No matter what the behavior is, it's almost never possible to take it all on at once. We have to start somewhere. And though with a particular measurable action, big and vague have to give way to small and specific. Each action has to be one forkful. It has to be one step at a time. But those two have to be realistic and specific. The fourth one is we neglect the toolbox. Now, if you want to fix your car, you need to have the right tools. So why should something about ourselves be any different? You know, we call them tools or devices or whatever you like. We all need a toolbox as support systems to rely on during this long haul. We just don't always have what we really need. The fifth one is to try to change too much. We try to do too much at the same time. If you commit to changing one behavior, one long-term behavior, and really stick with it, that's commendable. But trying to take on multiple behaviors at once is a surefire way to send all of them right in the ditch. The resources that we rely on to make change happen are limited. The attention, the self-control, the motivation, the list goes on. Trying to change too much places unrealistic demands on those resources, and it dooms our effort early on. Number six is we underestimate the process. Change is never a just one thing. It's a lot of connecting things, and sustained change doesn't happen without process that considers all of the pieces. It's easy to fool ourselves into believing that it should be so much simpler. But nothing about behavior change is simple. It's tough. The process-oriented challenge, move the needle, even a little, is a challenge. So what we're going to do is we're going to always make sure that we just take it one step at a time. You know, it really seems like this should be easy, but it's not. Here's the seventh one. We forget that failure is usually a given. If you try to make a change and you fail, you've proven one of the sturdiest truths of behavior change. Failing at least once is part of the process, and it's probably going to be more than once. So just know, dust yourself off and try again. And the eighth one is don't commit to something that you know you're not ready for. And that's one thing that we do. We don't commit to it. But it's probably the most important and best behavior change that the research has proven to tell us, that if we haven't made a commitment to an accomplishment, to want to change, it's not going to happen. We need a commitment device. That's what I call it. And that just firmly establishes what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And from there, everything else is going to start. And as I said before, we fear change because we can't anticipate the outcome. Now, we're going to come back in 30 seconds, and I'm going to tell you a few ways how you can change and you can be successfully at least trying to change. So we'll be back in 30 seconds.
Hello, this is Vonette Wright. I want to invite you to listen to my upcoming podcast, The Hand That You've Been Dealt. It's going to be a very informative podcast that deals with situations we deal with in our personal and professional life. Make sure you tune in every Friday at 4 p.m.
Hi, this is Vonette Wright, and we're back. This is The Hand That You've Been Dealt, and we're talking about why change is such a challenge, but how you can successfully change. Now, here's one thing that I've learned about change, and we've talked about a couple of ways why it's a challenge, but now we're going to talk about how you can change and it can be successful. Number one, a chapter is not a book. In order to start anything new in your life, you have to finish one. And sometimes we resist the end of a particular phase in our life. So you can always write an endless story of your life, but leave room for something new and move on from the past stories, okay? Your storyline is full of choices. Okay. When you approach life, you're starting to see possibilities when you actually change. You can learn to put expectations aside and focus on what it is that you want to control. Once again, you have a clear mind. And become the creator of your plot, not just a spectator. No longer now is anyone controlling you. You've made the change, and now you are the one who's setting the pace. You know, we said earlier that change is about fear and the uncertainty and not getting right or not being right. So the first draft of anything, it's going to be crap. You know, as they say, it might even be, you know, but we're not going to finish that one. But here's the thing. Ernest Hemingway was one of the greatest writers. And he literally wasn't just talented. He was committed to writing every day. But here was the thing. Even though he wrote numerous books and great novels, he was denied 30 times before anybody wanted to even publish one of his books. So every story can't be perfect, but first you must write the first draft, okay? The fourth one is you cannot control others. You know, a great writer, or Tyler Perry, I think, is a great producer and great director and a writer. If you watch anything, you say he's the director, he's the producer, everything. It's just like real people. They have their own life. And once an actor starts playing their character, they will take on the life of their own. And they follow their own instincts, not the script. So if you want people to give you their best, sometimes you have to set them free. You have to set places free. And you have to set some things free. That's the change. Number five, be ready for unexpected twists. Yeah. You know, change your routine, whatever that may be. So you're entering in a new dimension. Change it. You can do that. But you got to expect that there's going to be some pitfalls. You know, when you're feeling like that, just do something a little bit different. It may be going for a walk if you feel stuck, or do something outside of your comfort zone. Because once again, change has always been about staying in that comfort zone. If you want a different outcome, you have to add a plot or a twist. And the sixth is failure is a stop. It's not a destination. You know, when things usually work out, the first thing we say is, oh, I'm not going to do that, or I can't. Not everything is going to be successful. And that's okay. You can always rewrite something new. You can always start over new. That's the beauty of life, that you can course correct. You know, don't feel frustrated about what you didn't get or how things didn't go your way. Use that energy to start something else, to start all over. Decisions are impermanent, just like life. And the seventh is let go of the old manuscript. Those old fears, those old ways of thinking, that old way that didn't result in a positive change, let that go. However, most surprises in life become great memories. You can't control everything. So what you want to do is rewrite one new scene at a time, because now you're starting over. This is the change. Don't anticipate the whole plot, but bring your new ideas and see what happens. Don't resist the unexpected. Use it as feedback to live a memorable and changed life. And, you know, don't close the doors to new chapters, because you never know what you're going to get. When we want to protect ourselves from uncertainty, because once again, that change keeps us in what's familiar. So avoid living on autopilot. That's number eight. Every day is an opportunity to write a new chapter in your life. So here's a quote that I found to be real, real profound. And I'm going to start trying to apply it to my own life. It says, change the way you look at things, and the things you look at change. Change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. Those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. All things are difficult before they are easy. I think that is so, so profound. But of course, what I always say before I end with every last one of my podcasts and each episode is, Proverbs 3:5-6, and that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I mean, that's just the way I have to do life. I have to do it. You know, I have to trust in him. And that's the change that I begin to see. This has been Vonette Wright. This has been the hand that you've been dealt. I look forward to talking with you next Friday at 4 p.m. Take care of yourself and take care of someone else.